Hey, this is Spencer, and welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff! Woo! The podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss LGBTQ plus history. You know me as the guy who keeps the sound in check and gets the Let's Talk About Gay Stuff episodes out each week. You may know me from our spoopy podcast and our Ruby podcast, too. Our spoopy podcast is always there to bring you the latest and greatest in horror and true crime. And our Ruby podcast, of course, televised drag competitions. But this is about gay stuff, not about me. I'm gay, but it's about gay stuff, not me. Well, guys, still out on a little break after bringing you 114 consecutive weeks of laughs and learning about LGBTQ plus history. But they didn't want to leave you empty-handed or cut you off cold turkey. So, lucky you, we're still giving you a flavor of the week in LGBTQ plus history while the guys are on a break. This week, they are talking about Dr. Evelyn Hooker, going back to episode 66, a LGBTQ plus trailblazer, did not identify as part of the community, but was a fierce ally who advocated for psychologists and doctors, people to stop viewing homosexuality as a mental health disorder. So let's go back and see what the queens are up to.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. Woo. Woohoo! We're the podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss the week in LGBTQ plus history. Whoop, 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 whoop. Okay, sorry. We are Thomas,
Tony,
Kendall,
and this week we're reviewing the week of August 31st through September the 5th, and we're going to discuss Lily Tomlin, Condom on a House. What?
Woof.
And Dr. Evelyn
you
Hooker.
You talking about me again?
Condom on a house. Dr. Evelyn Hooker.
Must be a safe house.
Yeah. Speaking of houses, you know
that's how they know the condom's on the door, so it's safe to come in.
Those are. that's how you did in college, right? It's like you put a. Well, no.
Oh, but I didn't know that. I walked into my roommate. I was like, why is he putting his dirty laundry on the door?
You were mad.
Oh my god.
You were mad.
And I like barged in to tell him to like figure out, and there was somebody writing him. A young woman.
How long did you stay there watching? 2 seconds? 2 minutes?
Only about five. So I was late for class.
No, because one of my friends, he was like, he met this guy on Grindr, and so the guy's like, yeah, come on up. So the guy had an open relationship, and so...
This is, like, not in college.
No, this was probably, like, seven, 8 years ago.
I was about
ago.
To say, that you weren't around. Like, when you were in college, Grindr no. wasn't... The internet wasn't that
yeah,
thing
this was, like,
7 or 8 years
ago. Oh, no, everybody's adult here, you know? And so he's having sex with this guy, and he's in the middle of riding him. And the boyfriend comes in, and he just comes in, you know, undresses in the closet and slips into bed and just goes to sleep.
Next to his boyfriend having sex with another guy?
They have that much of an open relationship. Where it's like
there's a joke from Will and Grace where Jack, he's like, I don't like him because he cheated on me. He literally cheated on me, like right on me.
On top of me.
And so that's making me think of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to relieve stress. You know what another way to relieve stress, at least for your dogs? Those baked bone CBD treats. A recent Gallup poll shows that Americans have reported feeling stress, worry, and anger at the highest levels in over a decade. And while we are growing more and more aware of the effects stress can have on our bodies and minds, we may not have considered the effects that our stress can have on our pets. According to a 2019 study, there is a synchronization between hormones in humans and their dogs. If you are a dog parent, you probably know that your pup is very good at reading your body language, and you can quickly pick up on how you're feeling. They can quickly pick up on how you're feeling. And we're always working to reduce our own stress in any way we can. But what about the anxiety we may have passed on to our little puppies? Baked Bones has a solution. CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs. And Baked Bones has your dog covered. Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. You can check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and the other benefits it may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% when you use the promo code GAYSTUFF15. Baked Bones is LGBTQ owned and operated and is based in H-Town, that's Houston, Texas. Baked Bones proudly donates 10% of all of its profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Baked Bones, bake dogs happy.
Woof.
There we go. That's you got it. It only took us a year. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, they need CBD for adults because I know it works well on Kennedy. even though you can hear him growling speaking right of. Now. But I mean, we talk about a 2019 study. I'm interested on the 2020 study because between Corona, an election, race, you know, discussions, double hurricanes,
asteroids.
There's an asteroid on the,
oh my God, I did see today, Florida, they designed these mosquitoes to like kill other mosquitoes that carry Zika virus and other stuff. So they're releasing these genetically modified mosquitoes.
65,000 of them.
Is that how many?
But
yeah.
Will they get the murder hornets? Like,
yeah.
Those are gone now, I guess.
I did see one like positive meme was like, you know what? I want to be 2020. You know, I want to have goals like 2020 that's just constantly outdoing yourself, you know, getting, you know, trying to just do better, you know, one up. So, yeah, but I don't know. Anything good happening in 2020?
Well, are you scared an asteroid's going to land on your new home that you just bought?
My new home. Yeah. Spence and I just bought a home. Woo. I avoided like...
Did you get asteroid insurance?
Asteroid insurance. I did not. I got flood insurance. But yeah, I mean, I purposely left home ownership after Kendall and I split because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. We had a townhome back in the day. And I didn't want a yard, and so here
you lost
I am,
your live-in maid.
Here I am moving to a no. Spence has that covered. Spence is super house cleaner, super. No offense to you, Kendall, but super cook. Like all there's no. But it's now it's like we got. I mean, it's a fixer upper. It's an old home. We got all sorts of work that needs to be done on it, and yeah. But thankfully, we've got Kendall who's advising, help, you know, consulting as an interior designer. So
I noticed he wasn't posting on Facebook as much.
He's
this
busy.
Week.
We got him busy.
Well, my number one rule is when you put the shackles on the wall, use anchors. So they don't
right.
come out.
Yeah, we have a sex dungeon, so that's good.
And a sex attic.
But speaking of sex, like in that house,
pizza
like
in the basement.
There is a we found this because they're doing foundation work. We found this like. We were just looking, like, kind of seeing the work they were doing the other day. And there was, Spence, like, saw this, like, little pile of paper. And it was just, like, I don't know what it was. And he picked it up. And we're like, what is this? And it was, so we started peeling it. It was very old, like, because it was wet. It had just rained. But it was, like, we peeled it up. And I was like, what is this? And it was, like, a sex magazine. Like,
whoa.
Yeah.
How old was it?
Like, there was something in the literature that said 1940s, like a mail in by 1944. It was like in really good condition too, so it's like someone was taking care of it. But found it under the house. And,
oh, that's cool.
And there you go. So someone was not
back then. They were still wearing garters during sex.
Yeah, sleeping in two different beds. Like,
how do you know it was a woman?
Although that sounds like it would be good. Like, I mean, if you have that's multiple apparatus, you know, that you can have sex on, and so that's good for you know.
Yeah, good for them.
More equipment. But anyways, they that was an interesting.
So the house
find.
Has a long history of.
Mm-hmm. You ain't going to teach you anything new.
So we don't even have to install a sex dungeon. Like the sex dungeon's already been there. So all we have to do
rip
is
rip down the drywall and it's there.
It's like, whoa, what is this? Like the chains
the
are linked.
Anchors are still, yeah.
The anchors. You know, the good thing about the, you know, the 1920s version of that is like it's solid. Like it's not going anywhere. I mean, they built that for, you know, serious
built
wars. And yeah, so yeah, anything we do now is just cosmetic. It's like putting wallpaper on there so we can.
Betty White could have been born
pretty.
There.
She probably was.
I think she was.
She left her literature there.
I was going to say someone was having sex there, but maybe someone wasn't having sex, which is why they had the porn,
and they
you know,
stashed
the mag
it under
there.
The house.
But it was in really good condition. Like, if you look at the, well, I think I showed you guys at the start, like, it's like, I won't say it's like brand new, but it's not like yellowy, like paper. Like, the paper's still white, the blueprint's still crisp. The pictures
were the pages
are,
sticking together?
I mean,
that's what I was going to ask.
Could have been that good of a sex manual.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, that's so that was like interesting find. I was hoping, because we're going to have to freaking gut the whole thing. So I was hoping I'd find, we'd be able to keep something. So
well, that's what the manual's about.
You'll see.
Learning how to freaking gut the whole
thing. How to gut it. So hopefully we'll see something. We'll keep that little artifact in the sex dungeon. So I'd invite y'all there, but that's weird. Maybe we can record a podcast from the sex dungeon.
Make sure there's not a moisture control problem like mine.
Your sex dungeon?
It's just damp.
Yeah.
Ew, disgusting. Get a dehumidifier in there.
Damp and sticky. It's Houston. What do you expect?
Musty.
All right.
Like a locker room.
Anything else going on?
So I did see this week, do you know the DNC convention was last week.
DNC, RNC just had theirs. So yeah,
record
yeah.
number of LGBTQ plus delegates at the RNC.
Just at the kidding. DNC, I was like, I don't remember seeing kidding. That stat with the RNC.
Well, no,
they're all closeted.
They're openly
it's out. Senator Graham and his.
That was the running joke in DC. Like when anytime like the what was it the CPAC, the Christian conservative
political action
committee, they did there. It was like all you had to do was check Craigslist back in the day when we lived there.
Before Grindr.
Yeah, it was.
Now it's faceless Grindr blowing up.
Yeah, it was just like all of a sudden just blowing up.
Yeah.
And you know they have anal with their silk socks on. Their black socks on.
Gross. Some people are into that.
Keep so you said on. How many?
635 out of 4,700. So it's like 13%. Over 13% of the delegates were LGBT.
So that means 13% of Americans are gay now?
No.
No, we're still sticking with that 10% number?
Mm-hmm. Our recruiting numbers are down.
I know, yeah.
This quarter.
Well, this would say we're up if we've got 13% of delegates. So.
Wonder if the log cabin Republicans still exist.
Yeah, they just came out and said Trump is the most pro-gay president we've ever had, wherever we have.
My God. Yeah.
That's what
anyways.
I don't know. You guys need to vote. We need to make sure everyone's registered to vote. Poor Spence can't vote because he's Canadian. So I guess, you know, he looks at me like, you know, if I got married, then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But yeah, that's for another topic. That's for a different podcast.
Get the dungeon all nice and finished first.
There we go. But he can't. But I mean, doesn't mean you can't, right? You collectively, you guys are all registered to vote. I know, but
4 or 5 times.
This goes back to.
I vote in every runoff when there's like 90 people that show up to vote total.
Kendall just shows up to 4 different polling places at the. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't. That's not true. Anyone? That's not true. FBI.
Anywhere there's this a year, poll, he just has to.
He's just got his letters going out. You know.
QAnon, that's not true. We do not show up at.
Well, I signed up to be a poll worker, but
not that poll
showed
worker.
Up in the wrong outfit.
That's going to be a post. I was telling Spence the other day. I'm like, we're going to do a post where I'm, you know, it's going to be this poll worker, not that poll worker this fall. So, stay tuned.
You can be both.
I mean,
are you going to be a poll worker?
Well, I applied and they never emailed me.
That's because they're like, oh, he's not 75.
You applied on Craigslist, and that was a different. That was a personal.
Almost every poll worker I've ever known has been like.
Well, a poll smoker is the same thing, right?
Poll puffer, yes, that's okay. Exactly. It. But
you can be the fluffer. You keep them engaged before they while they're waiting in line.
A poofer, a poof.
A poker.
A poker. But, Woof. Yes, go register to vote. Take
Where
the
are you
pledge
working?
That we've talked about. Register to
Below
vote.
Below the waist, mostly.
Get people registered to vote. Get 5 people registered to vote. How easy is that to talk to 5 of your friends, family members, and say, hey, are you registered to vote? No, here's a link to go find.
My family members are Republicans.
Well, so. I would say everybody that I know is either super politically engaged and they do vote. The ones that don't are all Republicans. So like,
don't want them to vote. I know a lot of younger
don't
people
push me, Thomas.
that I was like, okay, so I'm like, y'all better vote. Like my nephew and all his friends, I'm like, y'all need to be registered
yes.
to
yeah.
vote.
Especially him. He needs to get on it if he just moved.
Yes. And so, yeah.
Did he?
Tell him it's a great place to meet chicks. Is that what they call them?
In the 1980s.
Chicks. I told him that the other day. I was talking to him about
some
something. I was like,
chicks.
You need to get involved so you can find some girls if you're into that. Like, I don't know. I felt like odd saying that because then I was like, oh, I've just turned
some
into my
smoking
uncles.
Smoking hot babes.
There you go.
I don't know. What do they
They
do
got
they
some
say?
Big cans. Anyways, again, take the pledge, register to vote, get people 5 people registered to vote.
It's only like 2 months and a week and
yeah.
a half.
By the way, on the registration, the first kind of deadlines are coming up. NBC put out this cool interactive. We'll get something on social about it because it's interactive in Ooh. Terms of you can click on the state and see, you know, what are the by when is early voting? When is the registration deadline? Can you do it by mail? Do you have to do it in can you do it in person? Can you do it online? Which Texas is one of, there's only like 5 states where you can't really do it online, which is sad. Texas is one of them. So by when the deadline to register to vote, when early voting starts, when it ends, and when, you know, obviously the voting on November 3rd. So yeah, it's a good site to check out. We've sent it out on social, but it's something that, you know, if you don't know, if you have questions about, you know, what the registration deadline is, check that out. But the first like states, I think October 4th is once the first wave of states end registration for voting. So make sure you register to vote, get other people registered to vote, go vote on November 3rd or vote early. I know there's a lot of concern about voting in person.
Oh, I'm voting in person.
Okay.
From this mailbox shenanigans.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I am too. And now we have 3 weeks of
Yeah, you can
Texas,
vote early.
Right?
If you can vote early, do that. If you're going to vote by mail, just make sure you're doing it in time. Plenty of time.
Two stamps.
Two stamps as soon as you get that thing.
So they've changed potentially the amount of the postage you need to actually mail it. So watch that. It's mails taking on average 2 weeks for some pieces, I should say. So make sure you mail it more than 2 weeks ahead of time. And also, there's a lot of talk about mail-in voting. States like Texas are not offering that. So don't just assume you're going
to
get your ballot.
You have
in the
to have
mail.
An excuse. Yeah.
But that's absentee, which is always been the case. Some states are mailing everyone a ballot, like Nevada, and Trump is suing to stop that. But there's been a lot of talk in the media about mail-in ballots, but it's still rare the opportunity to do that. Every state can do that. So just prepare to either vote absentee, and that state has requirements of certain requirements of if you're even eligible to do that. But look, you're probably going to have to vote in person. Show up and do it. Just plan on it.
Yeah, and if there's early voting,
that's what I'm doing.
Wear a beekeeper's outfit or scuba gear, whatever makes you feel protected.
They give you finger. At least when I did voted in July, it was a little finger cover and a wipe. So make sure you do all that. You can repurpose that for other activities.
What do you think I did?
If you have a sex dungeon. But yeah, go register to vote. Get other people to vote. Register to vote. Go vote on November 3rd or earlier. Make sure you're getting people to vote when it's time. I mean, that's important. And you heard it all through the DNC discussion, right? Michelle Obama said it. Hillary Clinton said it. Barack Obama said it. It's not just about you. Like, get other people involved in the process. And it doesn't have to be a fight. It's just being like helping educate people on, especially those who don't know. Like, this is a big election. They all are. Make sure you're educating yourself on the issues and the candidates, because there's a lot of, over the last couple of years, Me Too, Black Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter, all these things are happening, but for what purpose? Now, I mean, this is where it matters, right? The voter booth. So making sure that you're voting for candidates.
Booth with booth. An F, as we'd say in Louisiana. Booth. But I heard that actually there's another meaning for booth.
Ooh.
When you insert alcohol into your anus to get drunk faster, it's called boofing.
Oh, really?
Boofing is anal sex.
Oh, really?
That's what I've heard.
Oh my God, I'm so behind Sounds the like times. No wonder I call them. So
speaking that's from experience,
That's a different pledge.
Where you were talking about condoms earlier, and weren't you talking about house condoms?
Mm-hmm. He was.
Well, yeah, I was talking about house condoms. Sure. That's a lot of work. Speaking of work, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Economy Works. Need help with marketing? Hire a freelancer. Need help with building a website? Hire a freelancer. You need help with benchmarking and analysis? Hire a freelancer. Economy Works believes in the power of connection and wants to connect you with its talent network. The talent network has over 800 years of experience, and it's growing in HR, marketing, IT, accounting, and other specialties. Economy Works. When we work, the economy works. You can find out more at economyworks.com. That's economyworks.com. All right, Kendall. I feel like your topic is like the straight version of Lily Tomlin, because I heard an interview of her. She was cracking me up. Evelyn Hooker.
Well, I'm going to talk about Ms. Hooker, and I'm not talking about the two hookers at this table with me. So Dr. Evelyn.
One of them's Morky?
Yeah. So Dr. Evelyn Hooker was born this week in September 2nd, 1907, and she was an American psychologist known for her 1957 paper called The Adjustment of the Male Overt Homosexual, which had many positive effects for gays in this country. But she was born in Nebraska and grew up with 8 brothers and sisters. Her mom had a third grade education, but she pushed her kids to get an education.
I should have. We both didn't say this. Dr. Evelyn Hooker.
Oh, I said it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Dr. Hooker.
Oh, he said it. She
a doctor, boo. But she wound up being 6 foot tall, and she was made fun of. She always felt like an outsider because at a very young age, she was very tall. Got her PhD in 1932, and then she spent a year in a sanitarium for tuberculosis patients.
Wow.
So here was this massive woman in bed for a year, tuberculosis, and she later attributed those two things as feeling like, again, I felt like not a part of the rest of what was going on in the world. In 1937, she had received her PhD by then, and she went to a fellowship in Berlin at the Berlin Institute of Psychotherapy. Actually, before, she was working as a teacher at Whittier College, and we'll go back to that. But she was a teacher, and then 1937 she got the fellowship in Berlin, and this was right around the time Hitler was coming up and Nazism was coming up, and she saw this, and she saw many of the, I mean, she literally saw Nazis in the street in Berlin, and went to a group trip to Russia and saw the purges going on. I mean, because Russia was doing awful, awful things mm-hmm. at the same exact time. And she saw both of those things, and it, that background with the fact of feeling like an outsider from a kid, as a kid, and being a patient and seeing the discrimination up close in Europe, she later said it's why I felt so, I don't want to say sorry, but sympathetic for the gays and the struggle they went through. So she later found out that the family she stayed with in Berlin was killed in a concentration camp. It doesn't really, the war doesn't get much closer to you than that, than the person you stayed with for over a year dying in a concentration camp. And then when she got back to the U.S., Whittier College said, your position is no longer available with us because you've been in a, they were skeptical of her because she had been in a totalitarian Europe for over a year, and they were suspicious of her because at the time people were like, why would you have been in Nazi Europe? You know, did you agree with it?
Yeah.
You decided to stay there when that stuff was going on. So she applied to teach at UCLA, and they told her, we already have 3 women on the faculty. So we don't need a 4th.
That's it. We're good.
There's a
quota thing. We have enough women.
So even though she was completely qualified, had already taught, had a PhD, they gave her what was considered a lesser position as just a research associate. Mm. And she got such a good reputation so quickly as a brilliant researcher that they also gave her classes to teach. And in the 1940s, she had a student come up to her, Sam Fromm, and said he was gay and most of his friends were gay. And they became friends. She started going with all the little, she was the hag that went with them to the clubs and parties.
She was the fairy godmother.
Yes, the fairy godmother, the fruit fly of that group.
Hag is offensive, right? I mean, can we clarify that though? Like hag.
It's an old school term.
It's an old school term.
Well, I didn't say the whole thing. I just said hag.
What does hag mean?
Fag hag.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. I feel like the women don't like to be called hags.
They don't like to be called fairy godmother.
No, they don't.
Some anyway, I was using like a term of the time.
Just it was more of a clarification, just a cultural reference.
So Sam convinced her to study homosexuality. He said, "Please study whether or not this is a mental disease," and he said, "quote It's your scientific duty to help people like us." So he said. Will you settle this once and all? Is it a mental illness or not?
Yeah, they were like at a kiki. They were at a little party with her and her husband, I think, as I understood. Like they were away and I think I was on a boat trip or something. And she was like, this is when he asked her, like, can you make this? Because all of the research was homosexuals were.
It was kind of stated as fact that it was a mental illness. But, and that was the reasoning for not letting them work in government positions.
But her point was there was no research on it. It was based on nothing. It was just based on
assumptions.
Someone said it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's important to do your research beyond just Wikipedia. Click on the links, the source links, and get you there.
I mean, I know I'm sickening, but it ain't a sickness.
Oh,
okay. So,
talk about stand up.
She agreed to do it because this is her friend. She fell in love with the gay people that she was surrounded by, and she said, okay. Around that time, she had married Edward Hooker, which is how she got her last name. She's doing her research for years, and before her paper came out in 1957, her husband died of a heart attack, and little Sam died of a car accident in 1956. And at the time, homosexuality was considered a mental illness by psychologists. It was considered a sin by the church and a crime by law. So really in every facet of life in the country, you were not safe to be, you couldn't be openly gay at all without free of repercussions.
And you had a lone woman trying to research saying, oh, this is normal, right? Against all odds, at a time in the 50s where what you described everything, but also like, the Lavender Scare, like McCarthyism at its peak, and a woman who they didn't want to give a job to at the university because we already had enough women.
Right.
And she's going to try to be like, hey, guys, I know you think all these things badly about homosexuality, but it's really...
Well, nobody wanted to give her a grant. And then finally, the National Institute of Mental Health gave her a grant. Initially, they said no, but she had a meeting with the director, and she won him over, apparently. And he was sympathetic. She said, by force of personality, I won him over. And her study was, it gathered 60 men. You like the sound of this already, don't you?
It's like, hello, can they come to my sex dungeon?
30 house straight warming. Men and 30 gay men.
Listen, if you want to have a housewarming party, it's 60 gay men at the... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Evelyn Hooker.
What's your address?
So 30,
I'll house it while you're out of town.
30 straight men and 30 gay men. She paired them based on IQ, their age, and education. They were required to have never been in therapy or have psychological issues. They couldn't have been in the military. They couldn't have been in prison or showed any evidence of, quote, considerable disturbance. So all three of us would be knocked down.
Of course.
Yeah.
Shit.
And the testing she used, so she gave them all the same tests. She used ink blot tests, those Rorschach tests, which were big at the time, where you look at an ink blot and you're, what is this you see? And other psychological tests. And then at the end of it, she presented it to three expert evaluators, and said, tell me which ones are gay. One expert took so long to study that he took 6 months to go over the data. Another one did it and then did it twice. And one of them admitted that, or the, one of them's results said there's no chance of figuring out which one by these data that you've used. I cannot tell. Like, it's the same, it's just chance. So the study was huge at the time because it was saying, okay, I've studied an intensive, if we're going to call them mentally ill, and I use the tests that we use to determine if someone's mentally ill, and all these people are same backgrounds, then it's not adding up. So it was a huge study at the time.
And she said she had trouble finding the right people to do this test. Like, people didn't want to. Gay people were scared to do it because you're coming out of the out of the woodworks, and straight people didn't want to be associated with a gay test, right? They don't want to be part of that.
She used a lot of people from the Madison Society, which was a gay civil rights group or advocacy group at the time, and the people that were in that group were mostly professionals. I mean, it was a very...
Yeah, and their thing was they didn't want to be outed, right?
It's not like ACT UP where we talked about where they're in the streets putting condoms on.
Yeah, they even had aliases so people wouldn't find out about them, yeah.
They were behind the scenes.
they were.
In the basements. Shit.
In the sex dungeons in the basement.
So that's how she found a lot of them, and a lot of them were referrals from the group of gay men that she hung out with. But the 1960s was in 1957 when it came out, but the 1960s, because of the gay rights movement, it really caught fire. But a few years before that, she had written a report that advocated for decriminalizing homosexuality, which is huge. And she said she had the data to back it up. How can we call these people mentally ill if we have a scientific studies and expert evaluators that are in this field cannot tell the difference, can't find the homosexuals?
And hers were like, I mean, because there were other studies, I think, that came out. We've talked about this when we talked about the APA endorsing a proposal to no longer classify homosexuality as a mental disorder. And so there were some other studies that were out there that were saying, oh, yeah, but they were not scientifically valid. Like, they didn't follow the normal methods that Evelyn Hooker followed, or Dr. Hooker followed.
I mean, this was a legit study control group, and she used... It was 60 people is a lot.
They were lacking... didn't have
peer-reviewed, which is another big... For studies to be valid, they want to know, is it peer-reviewed? And she had the three biggest experts. In fact, two of them were the inventors or originators of the test that she used. You can't find more of an expert on that.
And the one test that was the prevailing study that was going on at the time saying, oh, this is, you know, homosexuality is a mental disorder, was not peer reviewed. It was just kind of some
closeted homosexual.
Well, I don't want to say that, but it was some guy who was, it was a doctor, but he was just, it wasn't peer reviewed. It was just kind of like, and I think everyone assumed he had a bias towards, like, I'm going to mm-hmm. prove this is, you know, homosexuality yeah. is a mental disorder. Versus she was coming at it from a neutral standpoint, like a scientific standpoint, like let's yeah. study this and find out.
Yeah.
Well, her that study is most credited for the homosexuality being removed from the Handbook of Disorders of the American Psychiatric Association in 1973. She was actually the subject of an Oscar-nominated documentary in 1992 called Changing Our Minds, The Story of Dr. Evelyn Hooker.
Really?
So she's a big deal.
Yeah.
How one woman... That and actually, you know, the kind of hidden figure in this was the guy, Sam Fromm, that stayed late after class and asked his teacher, you know, came out to her. She yeah. said he was he was her brightest student, so she was already kind of aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so receptive to it. But that was never the focus of her research and life's work. It just yeah. kind of, she was sympathetic to it because of her past.
Yeah.
She said, you know, because Making Gay History is another LGBTQ history podcast that I encourage you guys to listen to, because while we have fun and kiki over it, like over drinks, and we present our own perspective, like there you're hearing live interviews. Like Evelyn Hooker is interviewed in this podcast, which is where I'm kind of getting
not by them though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, by the guy who did it in the 1980s, late 80s, 90s. Yeah, it's a brilliant podcast. Encourage it. But again, it's very. NPR like you're getting live yeah. you're getting interviews, which is great. You don't get the kiki.
So they're not making hooker jokes.
They are not making hooker jokes. But she was telling a story, because you hear these, because we just did a post about Marsha P. Johnson. I get to hear Marsha P. talk, right? And so I listened to an episode with Evelyn Hooker, and she was like, to know the impact I had, she's like, you know, I feel it. I know it. But she's like, I know people come up. She's like, I had a girl come up to me, and she's like, excuse me while I break down a bit, because she was crying as she was telling this story. But she's like, I had a woman come up to me and say, thank you so much, because my parents, when I came out, they sent me to a mental hospital because it was a mental disorder.
Yeah.
And she's like, the treatment at the time was electroshock therapy. And she said, but because of your work, one of the attending physicians knew of it and said, advocated that I not get treated that way. Like I, you know, something different happened.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, to know that so many men and so many women and so many men were not, you know,
yeah, 'cause it's didn't one go thing through to that. Theoretically treatment. Think, oh, I was responsible for, you know.
Right.
Like bettering the lives of gay people. But when you hear stories like that, yeah. wow. Yeah.
So she's like, and she said it very humbly. It wasn't like I did this. She was like, I cannot believe that work manifested into that sort of thing. And she's very proud of what she's done. But to your point, she credits that student mm-hmm. who.
Well, it's always, I always like our topics when it's a straight ally, because I remember when I was younger, you just want like a straight person to look at you like a human being
mm-hmm.
and even if they accept you, it's not through pity. Like, I feel sorry for you. Like, you need my help or something like that, because it was so hard to find straight people that wanted anything to do with you, that you could trust to tell your secret to. So here's a woman that not only listened, but she said, yeah, I'll help you. Because when you're a minority, especially, I mean, the numbers are supposedly, the best guess, 10% of the population is gay, but that doesn't mean they're all out.
Right.
So maybe 3 or 4% at that time, 2%,
1%. I don't know. If you look at Twitter or Instagram now, they're all out. But yeah, yeah. But I get your point.
You look at Grindr, none of them are out. They're all discreet.
So you need people like that to help you. And it was hard to find at the time. It reminds me now. That's why I think I'm more sympathetic to something like Black Lives Matter that's, am I black?
They need
no,
people who aren't
but
part of
they're
community.
A minority, and you have to form coalitions with people that understand or are sympathetic to, mm-hmm. that listening to, or that aren't going to say, oh, you're wrong, it's not that bad, or something like that.
Right.
So come on, Hooker.
Come on, Hook.
I'm glad we've talked about her. We're like, oh, we're going to do her. We're gonna talk about her. So I'm glad we finally talked about her. So that's good. She's, again, a pioneer in the LGBTQ community because she helped us from a, you know, we talked about previously the American Psychiatric Association no longer putting homosexuality as a mental disorder. And so we credit that to Evelyn Hooker. So thank you for that. Also, thank you to everyone who's listening. We appreciate your support. We are at episode 66, I think, now. So we are plowing through these, and we appreciate all of your support, everyone listening. Each week, we also appreciate our sound guy, Spencer. He's the reason we get these episodes out every week, so we thank Spencer for doing that. Spencer, of course, you know, is part of our Spoopy Podcast and our Rupee Podcast, which is the drag show recap stuff that they've been doing. They do these episodes each week, recapping. Now, right now, they're recapping Canada's Drag Race and giving you all of the drag recap. And if you listen to our Spoopy Podcast, which I'm sure you guys have been doing for weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks, they talk about scary stuff, true crimes, murder mysteries, all of this stuff. So check them out at our Ruby Podcast and our Spoopy Podcast, wherever you can. And everyone, thank you for kicking with us this week. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. You can visit our website at Let's Talk About Gay Stuff and find all sorts of fun stuff there. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Talk About Gay Stuff and on Twitter at Talk Gay Stuff. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. If you don't want to do it in public, you can drop us a line at letstalkaboutgaystuff@gmail.com. We are part of the ListenWorks Network, and with that, we're here.
We're queer.
Get used to it.
Another compelling segment from the guys of Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. It's very important to talk about these kind of topics because the community is what it is, because there are allies out there who helped us to normalize things. So I think kudos to Dr. Evelyn Hooker. Well, that's another week of gay stuff for you to get you through to the next episode of Gay Stuff. Thanks for listening. And remember, we're here. We're queer. Get used to it!